This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Florida State, Miami have played twice, and it has delivered both times. Agree?
Both tremendous games, very different games.
Right.
The first one was a back and forth. This one didn't have really any back and forth to the last possession where we saw Florida State jump out to a ridiculous lead and then hold on for dear life. It was a tremendous game. I thought it was the best game of the weekend of the ACC lot, if you will.
Right.
And once again, Florida State finds a way to beat Miami. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Noles, I go back to that Leonard Hamilton interview a couple weeks ago where he kind of reminded everybody this was a really young team, starting to learn how to play with each other.
Yep.
Starting to get some chemistry, starting to build a little confidence with one another. Mm-hmm. Typical Leonard Hamilton team. They are deep. They are athletic. They will guard you. They've got some good leadership, too. This is a good club, and we know about Miami and those great guards. This was a strange game. If you didn't see the game, you just saw the final score, you went, wow, it must have been back and forth. There was never a lead change. I mean, how often do you see a one-point game in college hoops and there are zero lead changes? Seldom, if ever.
Yeah.
But this one had, like you said, tail two halves. That's exactly what this game was.
Yeah, if we get a third meeting, I would not be opposed to that. Mm-hmm. They come about it in different – in fact, I want to talk with Anthony Polite about this when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. There are two different recipes in these games. And Miami, as Jay said, when Jay Billis joined us at 8 o'clock, Miami could have won either ball game. I mean, they had a decent look at the end with Isaiah Wong. Now, he had two guys running at him. In watching the replay of it, he could have gone to Wardenburg top of the circle. I'm sure there may have been another outlet too. But nonetheless, you get great, high competitive games. And I think these two teams are both going to the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's any surprise in that, along with Duke at this juncture. But, man, Florida State, Mark, the ability to change speeds, win games, do it in different ways, hold on, defend, get stops when you need to. Give the Noles credit now. I mean, this is a team you were concerned. We were concerned, you especially, I think, in December, right? When they lost some games, the loss at Florida, South Carolina and down in Rock Hill. I mean, there was some concern about where Florida State was, right?
And that's why Leonard said, hey, this is a different club, mm-hmm. right? Every year's a different team, especially in this day and age of the transfer portal and everything else. But, you know, they have found ways to get better. That's what good teams do. It's what good programs do.
Yeah.
Florida State's a big-time program. They get better as the year goes on. You have seen that with the Noles. Mm-hmm. And with Miami, I still like their team. And just to go to show you how crazy the hoop world is, I mean, it's the same Miami team that had North Carolina down, what, 33?
Yeah.
A couple nights prior. And then all of a sudden you get your arch rival, revenge game, all that stuff. They're mm-hmm. coming to your house. And you're down 26, and you're like, wait a minute, is that the same team I watched take a hold of North Carolina and beat them sideways? What's going on here? And then they found it, right? Those yeah. guards are so good. And Jim Larranega is doing such a great job with this club. It was a thoroughly entertaining game. And the question became, could Florida State get it to the finish line? They barely did. But at the end of the day, it's another W for the Noles over Miami.
Yeah, so Florida State's got an advantage there. They're 3-0 against Duke and Miami combined. Duke finds itself 0-2 against the other two. Miami finds itself 1-2. Now, remember, we've still got another Duke-Florida State game in the hopper before the regular season is over. But clearly, those three teams have done some work. Two other teams also posted wins that can help themselves. That's Notre Dame, a road win at Louisville. Wake Forest, a big home win against North Carolina. Now, the Tar Heels and the Cardinals are two really interesting case studies here, because here's kind of what this really falls into. And Brendan Marks pointed this out on Friday prior to the game. In the case of North Carolina, important to remember, Carolina does not have a quad one win. Okay? They had four more chances. Now they're down to three. Wake Forest would have been a quad one win because it would have been on the road Saturday night. So now they're down to three. The two games against Duke and a game at Virginia Tech, which right now falls into that quad one status. Whether it does when you play it or not, we'll see. But right now it's a quad one. Pack the number of teams that go to the NCAA tournament with a single quad one win is minimal. No quad one wins? you can about take yourself out of it.
I loved what Jay Billis told us last hour about North Carolina. He says, you know, I think they come prepared to play and compete. The problem is, do they come prepared to fight? And, you know, when you look at the differences between North Carolina's wins versus their losses, Wes, defensively, it's like, I'm not even looking at the same stat sheet, right?
Right.
I mean, they have gotten, just harassed in their losses. When they look good, like I think of the Michigan game.
Right.
The way they played against Virginia at home, where they just wore them out. North Carolina looks the part. Like, you're like, man, that team right there, they can cause some problems. But then you get games like, you know, all of last week at Miami and at Wake, those were disasters. Getting schooled by Purdue, there's no shame in that. That's a team that I think can win the national title.
Right.
The Kentucky game was ugly. The Tennessee game was ugly. So I don't know what to make of North Carolina. I really don't. Yeah. When they're good, they're really good. And when they're bad, it's kind of a, like, I don't know who these guys are. Mm-hmm. So tonight they get Virginia Tech. Get a sense of desperation, really, with both of them, don't you?
I think that BC Wake Forest aside, although we certainly acknowledge that Boston College is playing a lot better. Earl Grant's done a really nice job. But Wake's in decent shape. Louisville at Virginia and Virginia Tech Carolina feels really, really big tonight.
I mean, those are globbers is what those are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, really,
I mean,
big
games. And Virginia Tech, I told you what they're
huge week
like
for them.
Oh, my goodness. It's the start of a monster week for them. But for North Carolina, I mean, that week last week, I said the last time they had back-to-back losses by 20 or more points, you've got to go back 20 years to the 2001-2002 season. So North Carolina at home, traditionally really good. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech going to be competitive. You know, they're going to be ticked off the way they lost that game Saturday. And it's a quick turnaround from Saturday night now. North Carolina.
Well, that may be the best thing for Carolina.
I think they both need to play.
Right.
I mean, I think when you have one of those weekends where you go, golly, how'd that thing get away from us? And let's go play ASAP. So I don't want to be the loser in that game tonight. I think the guy that gets to his car or the bus with an L is hating life tonight.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. By the way, just for the full disclosure here, there are only two teams in the ACC that have multiple quad one wins. That's Duke and Florida State.
Scary.
That's where this is from that standpoint. And again, we go back to the 4-16 against ranked non-conference opponents, right?
Well, you know, in your lifetime, in your adult lifetime, we've never discussed ACC basketball, men's side.
No.
In these terms.
We have not.
Ever. So this is a whole new universe for us.
That's right.
Really is.
All right. Let's get to the accounting because once a week's not enough for this. We do it twice.
Are we going to do fan accounting this week? I had some guy on Twitter ask me if we're going to do a fan
accounting.
Why
not? You're always welcome to submit.
But we need to come up with a date for fan accounting.
Why not Thursday?
Thursday, because we have games Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, why don't you submit by sunrise Thursday morning? If you submit by sunrise Thursday morning, you're welcome to tag Mark and me. You're welcome to use the hashtag Packer and Durham, whatever the case may be. We'll take your fan accounting.
We haven't done that enough.
Throw your 15 up. You want to throw a 16 on the fire?
Yeah,
Good for that.
Go for it.
All right. Here's mine. And believe it or not, in the multiple years we've done accounting, this is about as close as we've ever been, football or basketball.
I think you're right.
Florida State is the new number one for me. Miami, Duke, Notre Dame, basically in that order. Wake Forest, Carolina, Virginia, Louisville finish out my 8. 9 through 15, Syracuse, Boston College, Clemson, NC State. Wolfpack fans, you lost to the Tigers. That's why you're 12 and they're 11. Virginia Tech, and they'll say, well, we beat NC State. Yep, but you lost to Boston College.
Was that a little Pack Insider you gave me right there?
Yeah, Pack Insider often wants to know why they're sometimes behind. Him and Sam. Pack Insider and Sam Homewood.
Pack Insider always can.
Although Sam
something.
Sends the holiday mix, so might be able to leverage that next time around. Pittsburgh 14, Georgia Tech, the 50-burger on Clayton State. Sorry, 15, yeah, still
the
spot.
Help you.
Yeah.
In fact, scheduling Clayton State might not help you. all right, here's my Sweet 16.
Just believe trying it. To get a game in, man.
Fine, fine, that's great. Beat them by 100, it doesn't matter. mine's very similar to yours, Wes. It's kind of embarrassing. Florida State gets the bump. Hey,
embarrassing that we're alike?
Yeah, I mean, normally we're all over the place. Florida State 1, Miami 2, Duke 3. I still think Duke's the best team in the league. Call me crazy. Notre Dame 4, they get a bump with a nice win. The Deeks, I take you down one for storming the court by beating the team at 6. Virginia and Louisville, they play tonight. They're right there, 7-8. BC gets some love with a W against the Hokies. The Boeheims drop 1-10. Tigers get a bump up. The Wolfpack get a two spot up. That was a nice win against Virginia, in my opinion. Pitt, you know who you are. Hokies, man, I've been with you all year. You're going to have to show me something this week. The Defenders are 15, and my Sweet 16 are the NFL's number one seeds, both Tennessee and Tampa Bay. You are sitting on the couch with Chester and Fuller watching Green the Bay. Rest of the proceedings.
Green Bay, not Tampa.
Green Bay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Doesn't matter. They're all on the couch.
That's some kind of Green scene, Bay, Tampa some Bay, kind of scene Tennessee. Saturday night, though, at Lambeau, wasn't it?
Wow.
The snow and the wind.
Boys from the West Coast coming in there.
I've been there a couple times like that, by the way.
I've never been to Lambeau.
Oh, yeah. Bucket list.
That's what I heard.
It's the best.
I've never met anyone that has been that didn't come back and say, man, you got to go.
If you like anything about football, it's one of the two or three places in the National Football League that has the collegiate feel to it.
Yeah, I've heard it's great.
It's the best.
A lot of guys on the couch that I didn't expect to be after this weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes on the couch.
Yeah, we played that game yesterday in 3 hours and 6 minutes.
Scored 100 points.
72 combined points in regulation. They played that football game in 3 hours, 6 minutes. All right, index card time. If you've joined us, you know what this is. If you haven't, this goes back almost 25 years, folks. We're celebrating the index card's 25th anniversary, 97.
It's not 25, but we're getting close. By the way, you told me there was an ACC official said that he enjoyed this. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, there's some folks that enjoy this.
But an ACC basketball official
there are
likes
people
this.
That have seen the show and seen the index card and think this is fun.
All right. Well, here we go. Referee man. Foul margin in the league. If you got a negative, that is a good thing. Wake in Miami. A lot of changes.
I didn't
this
say
week.
All of them liked it.
I didn't say. You told me there was an ACC official enjoyed it.
A as in one.
That's
maybe
a start.
Yeah, sure.
Again, we are not here for the conspiracies. That would be
that
your
would be
responsibility.
Your responsibility, right? Yes.
Wake,
we're going to have that put on a shirt.
Well, could trade that, Mark.
There we go.
We get that bad boy trademark. Cost about 10 grand. I'm not sure I'm in the mood for that.
But, all right.
Wake in Miami at the top.
Yeah.
Pretty tight. A lot of negative numbers, which is good. But you know who you are at the bottom. Clemson, NC State, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. Boy, they're blowing a lot of whistles on you dudes. Man, blowing a lot of whistles on Old Tech, New Tech, State, and Clemson.
Cash, you quit reaching.
That's it.
Quit
don't
reaching.
Reach. Free throw margin. This is the one that normally gets people upset. Again.
New leader?
Yeah, new leader. New leader. Miami plus 39. They have shot 39 more free throws than their ACC brethren when they play them. Duke second. Syracuse surprisingly third. I'm surprised Syracuse is that high, but they are. You go to the tail end. The folks that are normally complaining, Pac Insider, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and Clemson, a lot of negatives there. A lot of complaints. Again, we don't come up with the conspiracies. You do.
That's it. Nicely right? done.
That's how it's done.
Well done. On the other side of this fine program, on a Monday morning, we will take our cameras to South Bend, Indiana. We'll talk about the Irish and their recent prowess with Dane Goodwin. Makes his Packer and Durham debut next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Anthony Polite from Florida State, he's coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. And Dane Goodwin is going to make his debut with the Irish. Of course, Notre Dame playing good basketball, man. Coming
Son
up
of
a nice
coach.
Win.
Son of a coach. Looking forward to talking to him.
Yep.
Maybe we get a good brace story out of Dane Goodwin, too.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, this is an established, experienced group.
Quick update. Billy watched Miami-Florida State, you said, in the opening hour. Billy saw that Florida State-Miami game, didn't he?
Saw the first half.
Yeah.
Sure did. Said Florida State is really well coached. I said, of course they are.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They held on for the one-point win. He thought I was speaking Chinese. What?
What
are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
So you got to watch the whole game, man.
All right.
Do it.
Got to watch all 40 minutes, Billy.
It helps.
It's over. It was over.
Yeah. It was over.
Off to South Bend we go. Dane Goodwin makes his debut here on Packer and Durham. Dane, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
We're great. Now, I want to confirm this before we get started. You are an Upper Arlington Golden Bear, are you not?
I am, indeed.
CPAC? I told you. Upper Arlington Golden Bear, just like Jack Nicklaus.
Nobody was arguing with
that. I know.
You're asking me trivia questions, which I did not know. All I know is you boys are starting to light it up, Dane. You know what? We were waiting before the season started when we talked to Bray. Old team, like the fire threes. These are normally the perfect combinations for Notre Dame to have success. Started a little slow, but, man, it looks like you guys are heating up at the right time.
Yeah, I think we have a good mix of players. We really do. A bunch of veterans. Obviously, Blake's been great this year. And I think we've got a good rotation going. So I think it's a mix of things. We're really playing well on the defensive end, too. And I think that's leading to great offensive possessions. And I think we're really playing well together.
Dane, there's this sequence of the calendar for your schedule where you guys lost at Boston College and 8 days later played Kentucky and won the game. And it's been referred to Coach Bray, but several others have talked about that sequence of days. Now that we're almost done with January, was that a turning point for the season in some respect? Because it feels like you guys since that time have kind of come into your own, for lack of a better term, I guess.
Yeah, obviously the BC game didn't go as planned. We knew that, and we really struggled that game, and we knew we had a big one coming up, so had to turn the page real quick, and had Kentucky coming in, and obviously got that one done. I think that kind of catapulted us a little bit, and especially right before Christmas, we started to really play well and carry that after Christmas, and then eventually into our win streak, and I think kind of figured it out a little bit. Like I said, on both ends, it's really coming from everybody. And we had different guys stepping up in different games, so I think that's really helped as well. And just staying consistent, all of us, is going to be, the key recipe for us moving forward.
Dane, you're a great shooter. In ACC, who's got the softest rims?
I would like to say the Joyce Center, but I don't know about that. I love shooting to Cameron. That's always a great place to shoot, but can't really go wrong in many of the ACC arenas.
So what makes Cameron so great to shoot in? Just the confines, the coziness? You tell me. You got the shooter's touch.
Yeah, it's everything's a little compact in certain arenas and kind of get spaced out, especially in the carry dome, for example. But Cameron's, so close, everything's kind of on top of you, and that background's looking a little close, so that definitely helps.
All right, so we talk about shooting. I had your game in Atlanta against Georgia Tech where you, Nate, and Hub went scoreless in the first half, and then all of a sudden the gates opened in the second half. Take me through something like that, because when you guys typically – and I thought, obviously, Blake Wesley was sensational. I thought Paul was outstanding as well. So how does all that kind of work for this team? Because in the past, that would have been real trouble for you.
Yeah, obviously, we didn't shoot it well at all in the first half. And we came in at halftime, Coach Ray was kind of saying the same thing as well. Just need to stick to our game plan, and we knew that. But coming out in the second half, staying aggressive, even though we couldn't really buy a shot, we knew it was going to come at some point. And, luckily it did. And just to kind of gut that game out was huge for us and, kind of extend our winning streak. But we also, we needed that one. I think it was a testament of, our team and kind of what we're made of, because it kind of came from everybody. Obviously Blake stepped up that game as well, but Nate hit a big shot late. I made a few baskets, big rebounds, big defensive possessions, everything. So, coming from everybody, obviously it was huge and just to really gut that one out in overtime was big for us moving forward.
Dane, I felt the same way watching you guys over the weekend. Yeah. You're down 7 at the half. Louisville desperate to win a game. Russ Smith's going to get his jersey up at the halftime, up in the rafters. I mean, there was an emotion to the crowd at Louisville, and you're down 7. But, man, you guys shot the lights out of them. I'm kind of surprised you didn't say Louisville's got the softest rims the way you guys are lighting it up. But, there's always key moments in a season where you kind of look back and you go, boy, that was a really important win. You get a sense, as well as you guys have been playing, to be able to win that game after being down 7 at the half could be another critical key run for the Irish moving forward.
Yeah, like the Georgia Tech game, we really needed to stay consistent at halftime. We thought we were playing well defensively, honestly, in the first half, and they kind of threw a few in on us, and you know, we knew if we were playing our game and you know, kept it consistent, that we'd be in a good spot. And you know, eventually, I think we kind of warmed down a little bit, and you know, kept playing our game and got great looks the whole, you know, both halves, first and second. And I think you know, we really played our game, and in the end, it turned in our favor. So I was happy to, you know, get that one, and you know, moving on to the next game Wednesday.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask you about. We were kind of talking here at the top. It looks like you guys have put yourselves in a position, certainly, to contend here. Wake Forest is there, Duke, Miami, Florida State. That kind of goes without saying. So as a veteran guy who's been through this more than once, what do you tell Blake Wesley? What do you tell Paul Atkinson? What do you tell some of these guys as you get ready to fold into February, Dane?
Yeah, obviously, we have a huge stretch coming up. You know, 5 games in 10 days or whatever it is. And, you know, my senior class, me, Nate, and Prentice, we've been through our fair share of up and downs. Like I said, we really just need to remain consistent. We know we got the guys to do it. We know we got the coach, the team, everything. And I like the way we're playing. We're really on a roll a little bit here. And, you know, we gotta really just play our game, starting on Wednesday. I know we have some good teams coming in. It's good to get a few games at home here as we've been on the road, but you know, we're looking forward to the challenge, and you know, we're expecting, you know, hard physical games, every one of them. But you know, I think we got a good chance moving forward.
All right, here's something. We have had more fun with your coach, and I know you're stunned to hear this. That, you know, look, he's already smiling. Mike Bray is one of our favorites here. Do you just kind of got to be ready for anything with him? Is that basically the way it works, Dane?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. He has a few isms that he likes to say, and you know, like a few weeks ago when he got on dining hall tables, you know, I wasn't surprised at all. But you know, that's just him. That's his personality. I think it's great. He wants to get people involved, keep people excited, and you know, I think for good reason. You know, we love to have the students in the stands, and you know, we're looking forward to another great crowd on Wednesday.
I just wished in the middle of January he'd come out with that little Maui Mike and go shorts and a Hawaiian shirt on you guys, just to keep you honest.
Yeah, I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised.
All right, you played for your dad. Your dad has coached at Capital for a long time. He's the all-time winningest coach there. We always hear the son of a coach adage. What's it meant to you to kind of grow up with the basketball family, if you will? I mean, your dad's success is remarkable at Capital and incredibly successful at Division III over the years. So what's that meant to you, and what did that upbringing mean to you once you got to Notre Dame?
Yeah, obviously you said it. I grew up around basketball. I grew up going to games, you know, practice, everything. I'm really grateful for it because I got, you know, so many cool experiences just from him and, you know, everything around him. Obviously, he's been, you know, really successful at what he's done and learned so much from him. And it's funny, you know, we'll come back from after a game and, you know, he's already watched it on Synergy and he's, you know, let me know you need to do this and you need to be more aggressive here. And, you know, I think it's really helped me overall just to hear another voice and, you know, hear it from him as well, from your dad. It's really important and also really cool that, you know, I've been able to be in that position where he's helped me and helped me in every way possible through school, basketball, everything. And you know, it's great to, you know, have him in basketball as well. Hmm.
Dane, our traditional question for every student athlete that makes their first appearance on the show, we're going to put this one on you since this is your debut.
Yeah.
But since you've been at Notre Dame, what has been your hardest class?
Ooh. I want to go with managerial economics. Took it this past summer. Was definitely not easy. Got through it, and you know, I'm on my way to graduation. So, you know, looking forward to it.
Did you have managerial economics at Clemson on your way to an economics degree?
I don't know if it was called managerial economics, but I did have that. Does that make sense?
Was it hard?
Yes.
There you go. Okay.
I mean, hey. Dang.
We haven't had a lot of econ on this.
Hey, the guy from Elon wants to know if econ.
Hey, whoa, hey, keep Elon out of it. Wait a second. Dane, I've always got to measure the econ classes with the econ grad here, you know, Packer. Yeah. Mr. Yeah, entrepreneurial. So,
you know, I get it. I mean, you got to work. This is not one of those underwater basket weaving classes. You got to work in economics.
Dane, real quick. If we had a shooting contest at Purcell Pavilion this afternoon about 2:30, I don't know, 20 threes each guy, who's winning?
I'd have to say myself. You got to have the confidence that you're going to get it done. But
shooter shoot, you know,
especially Dane. Especially in the friendly confines of the Joy Center, I think I'd get it done.
Yeah, I have no doubt that that's going to be the case.
So let's just say that you got a few of Leshefsky's coins. You got a few of Hub's coins in your pocket. Would you go there?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely got a shot. I think I'd shut them up though.
There you go. That's what I like, shoot or shoot, Dane. No question. Hey, thanks for the time. Good luck against the Wolfpack. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
You bet, Dane Goodwin, Notre Dame. Fun visit, man.
Good player.
Oh my goodness, old player.
Gets it. Knows how to play. Knows how to play the game.
Well, you go scoreless. You take those three guys. They go scoreless in Atlanta, right? They battle, get it in the second half. He hits big shots. Hub hits big shots. Leshefsky, Wesley all hit big shots. They win the game. Old team, right? When we come back, Tallahassee the next stop. Florida State and Miami played two great ball games during the ACC season, and Anthony Polite has had a big mark in each of them. We'll talk to him about the Noles' success and what it means before we're even out of January. Live to Tally next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Many thanks to Dane Goodwin up there in beautiful South Bend, Indiana, where the Irish are hot. Now we're going down to Tallahassee.
Think the weather's different?
Yeah, I do. But the Noles are hot too.
Yeah, they are.
Playing good basketball.
Anthony Polite, a key piece of Florida State's success, joins us live this morning from Tallahassee. Anthony, welcome. Great to have you back on the program. Man, you guys got to feel pretty good about the way things have worked out in the two games with Miami, huh?
Yeah, definitely feel great about it.
I just want to follow up now. You're up 26, Anthony. We're up 26. All right. Life is good. Got the crowd quiet. All this rematch talk. You're up 26. Now, as a competitor, Noles, Canes, what's going through the head there? Is it like, hey, we're going to run these dudes out by 35? Or is it like, hey, I know they got a run in them. Let's go. I mean, you tell me. What's Leonard barking at you guys up 26, second half?
I mean, we kept saying that we had to stick to the game plan. We know they were going to come into the game with some adjustments. We had just played, that was our fourth game in 8 days. I'd say our legs probably was a little bit tired, but none of us ever thought that they were going to come back like that. I mean, it's the game of basketball, and sometimes it happens, but I'm glad we were able to come away with the win.
Why do you think the games are as good as they are, Anthony? I mean, do y'all just match each other that well? I mean, they've been two different types of games, but they always seem to come down to, you know, a play here, a play there. I mean, and there are all sorts of different guys making plays for both schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, the culture that we got at Florida State, we can rely on any guy every given night. And we do give problems to other teams, and other teams make adjustments. We have a young group of guys that came in, and all of them been working hard. Us older guys been talking to them, the coaches as well, and we starting to figure things out, and it's been showing in the past couple weeks.
You know, Anthony, we talked to your coach, Leonard Hamilton, who's been on here a gazillion times, and we love Leonard. And he told us 2-3 weeks ago, that, hey, guys, guess what? This is a young team that's still learning to play with each other. Chemistry's good. They're working hard. And the grind is part of the deal. And, again, every team's different, right? This team's totally different than one a year ago. But how much fun is it as one of the older dudes in the locker room to watch these young pups start to grow up, especially in environments like you had Saturday, and you figure out ways to win? That's got to be cool as an upperclassman.
It's definitely amazing. Starting off, we started off the season not like we wanted to, but like you said, we is a new team. We have a lot of younger guys, and just like my freshman year, we started off conference 1-4, and us, the older guys, and the coaches kept preaching to the younger guys that we just got to stay in the gym, stay together, and we really got to play our best basketball. And towards January, February, and March, that's when we want to be at our best. And it seems like right now we're starting to find that rhythm, and I feel like we got a lot more room to grow, and that's exciting.
But you know, because of the experience you've had, and that's a key piece to anybody's success, is having guys who've been there before. You probably realized as much as anyone how different this team was, though, right? I mean, this was not last year's team. It certainly wasn't 2 years ago's team. So what were the challenges you guys had to overcome? Was it just getting guys like Worley experience? Was it, you know, putting guys like Ngom on the floor, McLeod on the floor, that kind of thing?
I feel like everybody kind of stepped into a new role. Everybody was trying to figure out their role on the team. And it's just the progress of a team that's maturing. The younger guys now are starting to find what they can do consistently. Us older guys, same way. And we're just gelling together. And I feel like our defense is a little bit ahead of our offense. But I feel like that's normal. And like I said, we're just going to keep growing and keep getting better.
Anthony, what's more nerve-wracking as a player? A game like the Duke game, you're at home, crowd's going nuts. There's back and forth. It goes to overtime. Anybody can win it. Or a game like Saturday where you're on the road, crowd's all over you. They're talking about your mom and your dad and everybody else, and they don't like you, you don't like them, and you're in total control. And then all of a sudden, here comes a run, and you try to get that thing to the finish line. What was more nerve-wracking, the Duke win or the Miami win?
I feel like, the Miami game was probably more nerve-wracking because we was up 24, 26 points, and then the momentum shifted to them to the really end. I definitely say with the Miami being on the road, I feel like that's a little bit more nerve-wracking. We at home, our crowd is great, the fans are great, so I'd say definitely being on the road.
Here's a look at the final play. I mean, man, you're in the mix there. This is the real deal now, going down to the end, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely is.
Was it quiet in there? Going down the floor, I bet it's loud, and then when he cut it loose and you guys, it bounced away, then it got quiet, right? Except for you guys.
Yeah, it was quiet except for us.
I know this much. Wes and I do this thing called accounting, Anthony. Mm-hmm. We got to rank the league 1 through 15. Mm-hmm. Not to put any pressure on you, but Wes and I have you ranked number 1 in the league right now. How about that? Florida State, numero uno. On January 24th.
That sounds good to me.
I was going to say, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You're probably like, hey, man, rank is 15th. Man, let us earn it. But we both got you at the top of the line, number one. How about that?
Sounds good. Looks nice.
Yeah. Hey, this time of year, I mean, you're from Lugano in Switzerland. Your dad, obviously, we talked during the break. Your dad played at Florida State. I mean, you kind of get the bigger picture here. But I gotta wonder, in January, February, do you miss Switzerland this time of year? I mean, do you miss the winters over there? Or is this kind of nice change of pace?
My mom, my grandma, my brother, my sister, they're watching right now. They're over there. I know it's a lot colder over there, and they wish they were over here in Florida. But, I mean, I miss home always. And it is colder than here.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to mom in Switzerland watching, huh?
Yeah, anytime she wants to call, 844-ACCM. Hey, all right, looking forward, though. All right, I know it's the next game. I know how players think. But big picture for this team, Anthony. Again, you guys at Florida State, you've been to the mountaintop here. What do you foresee for this team? How does this thing end for the Noles in the regular season before we get to March Madness? Mm.
I feel like we lost the games that we had to lose earlier in the game. I don't see why we should lose any more games. We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Keep improving day by day, take one game at a time, and then the future is going to take care of itself.
All right, I got one more question. Why is Trent Forrest's jersey hanging up in your room?
Oh, I actually got a lot of jerseys up here. So I got Raekwon Gray, Fiondu Kabungele, Trent Forrest, and Chris Kumaji. And then I got Kobe right now.
Yeah. Those are all legit. But Trent Forrest is a heck of a player now. I mean, as a heck of a player.
Yeah, he played great last night, too.
Yeah.
He definitely did his thing.
Yeah.
Do you hang any jersey of a guy that can't play dead in a cowboy movie? Just ask.
No.
Any bad players' jerseys ever make the wall, Anthony? Anybody say, that guy can't play. I want their
everybody
jersey.
Does. Everybody does on the wall. It's great.
Yeah, because okay, that's what I would do. You know, I would say, man, listen, Kobe's one of the all-time greats. You go through the whole list. Yeah. They're all awesome. I would put guys up there that are averaging like 2.3 a game in an NBA career. Just say, people would walk in and go, well, who in the world is that Johnson, number 28? Hey, man, you got to know the game to know who that guy is. I think it's easy to put those guys up that you've got.
Anybody else we want to put on the wall? Are we working on another jersey? Come on, you can't be finished, right? Nobody's ever finished, right?
Yeah, I'm actually still waiting on Travis Light jersey.
Travis Light?
He said he was going to give it to me. Yeah.
Where's Travis playing?
Nah, Travis graduated. He was on Green Team last year.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for it.
Is Prieto's jersey, the meteorologist, do we get the weatherman's jersey up there at some point? Prieto, is he good enough for a jersey?
Oh, for sure. After this season, I'm definitely requesting one.
There we go. Oh, boy.
Well, keep up the good work, man.
Good to see you, man.
You guys are always fun to watch.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet. Anthony Polite. I like the jersey idea. Put guys up there you know, stuff like that. Good players.
Put guys up you don't know.
Maybe that's what we should do.
Yeah.
Maybe we should.
Where are we going to, Wes? Where are we? We got more stuff in here.
Packer, I think you got to start thinking bigger. Expanding. Oh, okay. I think we got to start thinking about expanding.
You clue me on how that works.
Let's knock out a wall or two.
Oh, there you go.
I knew the studio. The basement wasn't going to be big enough for too long, you know?
Well, I tell you what.
Which wall you want to knock out first?
Well, there's only one wall you could knock out.
And that'd be the one going into the garage?
Right here.
Yeah.
Because that's the garage is over here.
Yeah.
You can't go that way because that's the earth. You can't go that way because that is the storage wine cellar. And you can't go this way. Well, you could, but we're not going to. This would be the only direction. And I don't think it's in the budget. If we can't get hats, T-shirts,
no,
and posters,
expansion.
I doubt that the worldwide leader can afford knocking out a wall. My guess.
We're going to improve the grid.
We really don't. I would love to hang some jerseys in there, but we really don't have any space.
Even
places where folks can't see.
Yeah, we don't really have space.
We don't have anything.
It'd be good if we could hang jerseys, though. Especially like just random jerseys.
Well, that's what I would do.
All right. When we come back, final segment of the Monday show. We got three basketball games tonight. And Mark and I are under the belief that two of these have some stuff with them. Like, how you playing? How's it going to finish type stuff? We'll check on that more when we come back. Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, Tuesday night, we premiere another edition of All Access, the ACC Life. Time with Mel Fortner and Georgia Tech women's program, Louisville's women's indoor track and field team, Virginia women's swimming. Lives of student athletes, coaches, staffs, parents, and fans, 7 o'clock Eastern right here on ACC Network and live on the ESPN app. Oh, yeah.
When are we going to do a little the life of the Virginia rowing team? The reason I ask that question is because, it's 22. Spring's right around the corner. Rowing team's going to be – Virginia's dominated the league in rowing.
Yeah.
And you know what we want to do on Friday, May 13th?
Yeah, I know what you want to do. In fact, I was asked about it this weekend at Clemson.
Everybody asked about it.
Well, I
was... He's going to be whether ESPN can pull it off. That's the key.
I just said I was asked about it at Clemson. Just asked.
And?
I just said, yes, he has said on the show he wants to do a show live from a boat on the lake.
Right.
The day of the rowing championships.
Right.
I was just asked, and I confirmed that you have said that you would like to do that.
I presented that to the commissioner.
I know.
I presented that to Suits at ESPN.
Right.
And everybody nods.
Right.
Like, in fact, commissioner thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Mike Casasanta, did you see this tweet?
Did not. I've not looked at Twitter during
the show. Mike and his wife just had their first baby.
All right.
And apparently the baby loves watching the show with his dad.
They named him Packer or Durham?
No, they didn't. And nor Chester or Fuller, in a stunning development.
That is stunning.
However, Mike wants to know, any way we can get a Packer and Durham onesie so he can do his accounting in style?
I can answer that question. No.
Okay, good.
We would give it to you.
We would say congratulations, though.
I just did.
On the arrival and all that.
Gear, we got to. Literally what we have left. It's on the table.
Yeah.
We have one coaster left.
That's it.
That's all we got.
Yep.
And I have had two more printing companies contact me last week about doing Packer and Durham stuff. I said, we don't have the rights to it.
You got a computer sticker too, by the way. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Well, that's my computer.
Yeah, that's your computer.
I mean, the one ESPN gave me is over there collecting dust. Mm-hmm. But I've had two additional companies last week call me. Right. Man, we would be more than happy to provide Packer and Durham hats, T-shirts, stickers. I said, guys, I really
appreciate it. For a nominal fee.
I mean, period. And I'm like, I would love to give you the green light, but I don't own the rights to any of this stuff.
Sorry, Fuller. Didn't mean to get you there.
So I apologize. I wish we had it. I mean, some shows have mugs and all kinds of things are given away. Well, we got nothing.
There you go.
Zero.
All we've got is 3 hours of information and entertainment for you days a week.
We try.
It's our number one goal. And we thank you, as always, for your patronage. Okay, three games tonight. Let's break these down. Boston College is at Wake Forest, 6 o'clock right here on ACC Network.
BC's playing hard. They're playing tough.
I agree.
They're engaged.
How do the Deeks respond?
I think the Deeks are fired up. I do. I think they're fired up. I think they just got done rolling the quad, except for that guy in the blazer. Steve Forbes has his guys playing lights out basketball. They've been really good at home, with the exception of the Duke game. But you can't just sit there and high-five yourself for beating North Carolina, because BC is playing with house money, man. Yeah. After they came back from 23 against Clemson, down 11 at home against Virginia Tech, they're playing hard, they're playing well, playing with confidence.
Yep.
So Wake's got to pay attention.
Louisville at Virginia. This is one of the two that we got our eye on tonight.
It's a globber, there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal, Wes. This, to me, is loser. This game's 5 up and 5 down in the league.
And 11-10 overall, right?
I mean, you know, play hard. Mm-hmm. Louisville has really struggled. They've lost 4 of 5, coming off a home loss. Dane Goodwin talked about that, with the Irish coming from 7 back at halftime.
Right.
There's something missing with Louisville. I don't know what it is. And what's missing with Virginia is that they will go, I don't know, anytime from 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 to 15 minutes and not make a shot.
Right.
And that's a real problem. I suspect this game will be close. Only because I'm not sure either one can kind of blow the other guy out.
Yeah.
Just feels that way.
Yeah.
Now, we'll come back tomorrow and somebody will win by 25, but both these teams have struggled to the point of concern, if that makes any sense.
All right. Feel the same about Virginia Tech, Carolina?
I think it's desperation time, quite frankly, for both of them.
Yep.
Virginia Tech, after the win against Notre Dame at home, finding a way to win the NC State game up 15-0.
Led wire to wire and held on, yeah.
You know, the BC game was a big blow to them, big picture as far as the momentum. Now you got the crazy week with North Carolina, Miami, and Florida State on the docket this week between now and Saturday. North Carolina last week was a week to forget. Mm-hmm. Again, I told you the stat, back-to-back losses by 20 or more, but the Heels traditionally have played well at home. I can't imagine them laying an egg tonight. And Virginia Tech, like I said, they've got to win 2 of 3 this week. Have to. Must.
If you weren't with us at the top, what Florida State, Miami, and Duke have done is kind of create a little bit of separation ahead of Notre Dame and Wake Forest. So now it's incumbent upon Notre Dame and Wake Forest and anybody else that wants to get involved in
Carolina, Virginia, Louisville.
If you want to get involved, you got to make some hay. You got to do some math in the good way, right? Get some wins. We gave you the note earlier. Only Florida State and Duke have multiple quad one wins in the ACC.
And as far as North Carolina goes, it's been the have or have nots. When they lose games, I mean, the discrepancy defensively of what they do in terms of points given up and wins and losses, it's scary. It almost looks like a typo.
Yep. You're right. So there's where we are. Thanks to Jay Billis. Thanks to Dane Goodwin. Thanks to Anthony Polite for spending some time with us. Enjoyed the visits from each of them. Three games tonight, as we told you. And our investigation into who the guy is in the blazer on the quad.
Have we got any news on that? Can we just send a picture of that to John? John Curry would be able to tell you, oh, yeah, that's Joe Jones.
Well, I'm pretty sure that when the young man has arrived to work today, anybody watching this show has identified who it is, and he's walked in the door, and unbeknownst to him,
he's a star.
He's been ridiculed by my partner here for, you know, wearing a blazer to the quad, just doing his job. There he is, our man on the scene.
And here's the other thing I didn't even mention. Both hands in the pocket. Dude, this is a TP effort. You don't wear a blazer to a toilet paper party, and you don't put both hands in your pocket. Dude, we're rolling.
We got to go.
We're rolling.
Thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Christy Velez. Wonderful show to start our week. We will see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Basketball tonight right here on ACC Network. Have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.